Now, I wonder if anybody's listening to that guy. I'm live right now in the studio. I guess interrupted me after I said by that definition that I was reading, everybody's in hell right now. I've come early because a lot of you people do not, seemingly, you just take for granted, appears to me, you can prove differently in the next few minutes, that God just supplies, and we're up there 24 hours a day, satellite, KU band, internet, multiple shortwave, 24 hours a day, just automatically because one of those angels came down and decided to set up the machinery to do this, and it's all gratis and all free. Do you even have an inkling of what it takes to keep this vast network going 24 hours a day until with multiple media you can tune in anytime you want to? Now, I took this posture when I came here 29 years ago, 24 hours a day. You need to be able to tune in when you need it. But the practical keep your powder dry side of me says, how much longer am I going to keep providing this network for people who listen a couple hours on Sunday? And I could take my wife and have a very good time. And a lot of you that have settled in to Sunday only, you wouldn't give a hoot anyway. Particularly here in Los Angeles, where you can pick it up on multimedia, on-air television. I have been tightening the screws for some weeks now. You are going to demonstrate to me some reciprocity of understanding of what you're a part of as you help maintain this 24-hour network with your support and as volunteers, and also what you have available to you when you need it. Do I expect all of our king's houses to be listening every hour, 24 hours a day? Absolutely not. But I do expect that however many of you are watching right now, you get off your duff and let me know you're listening or you're watching. That's what has aggravated me these last few weeks as I've started coming to festivals and announced to you to expect festival any day at 7 p.m. California time, which gives at least 10 p.m. that people on the East Coast can tune in. 24 hours a day, we're there. Now, those of you that are listening right now, I want you to get on the phone and tell me you appreciate having this network available to you anytime you tune in, whatever media you use. That's what aggravates me. I'll sit down here and less than 10% of you that are watching at any given time will respond when I'm telling you, get on the telephone. There have been two instruments that the devil has used for 29 years to destroy and kill my spirit. Lack of instant response when I say get on the telephone. I don't care how many times you call. When I say get on the telephone, you go get on the telephone. And not keeping the seats full on Sunday at the cathedral. Those are the two instruments that the devil uses you by your failure to do, to kill the spirit of this ministry. Now, I'm here now 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, and I want some phones to get busy. I walk in here with volunteers that are sitting here. Sure, they can listen to the teaching. It's doing them good. But they volunteered to come down here so that when you call, there's somebody to answer the phone. It hasn't always been that way. It is now. I want you to get on the telephone right now. Well, I gotta admit you did pretty good. But you got 5 more minutes. You say, well, you want me to call again? I sure do. Figure out some other reason to call, something else to say. If nothing else, you're watching for some reason, you must have been getting something out of what you were watching. I want to know that you're there. Every hour on the hour, we are broadcasting multiple media. A fortune. Our daily costs are more than the entire cost of the year when I came here for the church. Now, there are lots of religious networks that broadcast 24 hours a day. Tower of Babel. The assumption being, you sort it out. Just throw enough stuff on the wall, some of it will stick. And they're selling time. That's how they stay 24 hours a day. They sell time. And occasionally, the network will say, this program is sponsored by the network and supported by you viewers. And then they'll have 2 or 3 telethons a year. They're selling time. Constantly running telethons. And those that get sponsored are the ones that come to the telethon and have a large enough following to be able to pull in a few million dollars for the network. It's a cash cow revolving. Wake up. I mean, this gray hair, by the way, I cut my hair to represent my congregation, unruly. And needing to grow a little. Parable in front of you every time I sit down here. I grew up in the religious con world. That's why I lost my faith. We put it out to you 24 hours a day, a certain trumpet, God's word just pouring out. One voice saying the same thing, and it's right. Not some independent revelation. And it doesn't matter what network you go to. You listen 5 minutes, you'll hear a half a dozen Scottisms stolen from me. Yes, sir. Every one of these preachers are recording me round the clock and then butchering what I teach and telling their people not to listen to me. Figure it out, folks. The reason the response in Dallas is like it is, they haven't had the time there for the preachers to badmouth me to their congregations. Now, you that have eyes to see, the least you can do is what you just did. Show some appreciation. Encourage me to keep going with what we're doing. Convince me you haven't turned into deadheads. I remember when I was going to use the network to raise the final $2 million for the library that had burned downtown. They thought we were some little cable program. I remember bringing the TV committee that I was chairman of and the various people on the Blue Ribbon Committee and the mayor and others in. I said, of course, they didn't even know we had a studio. Walk in, watch what happens when I sit down and go live for just 5 minutes. And unlike now, then we had almost a full house of Voices of Faith when I came in the middle of the day. And then to sit down, every phone in the room lighted up. Now, some of you have gotten too casual. The habits have disappeared because we haven't been doing live festivals all the time. I want you to expect me to sit down here anytime. And when I do, I expect you to get on the phone and welcome me here. I get on the telephone right now again. And now it's after 7 o'clock on the West Coast. We went through the 7 o'clock hour with the crawl saying you've joined Dr. Scott's program already in progress. I came in early tonight, and I told you to get yourself in a frame that you should check in at 7 o'clock every day. If you're interested in this ministry, we provide it for you 24 hours a day. Multiple media, constant teaching, 29 years piled up. If I do not teach the nitro pills every year the same way that I did for the last 20-some years, you ought to try to find out when one of those messages is playing on the network, and you need to listen to one at least a week. Well, I've heard it before. Go get off of it. Don't even go there. I preach them, and I need them again. I've been reciting for my own spirit all day today, Psalm 18. Those 36 messages called Excursion in Faith, you ought to listen to one every week. You have to listen to them 360 times before you die. How many of you remember what our Hanukkah means? How many? Our Hanukkah Yahweh, I will love thee, O God. I mean, remember, what's the basis of it? Somebody speak up. Huh? Womb. Uh-huh. I mean, remember me coining a phrase. When you praise God that way, you should say, Womie's talking. Womie's talking to Woomer. I'll bet some of you have faced some problems this week that if you had paused to think or heard that message again, you would suddenly realize the one that's watching over you and that you're following and whose care you've committed yourself is your Heavenly Mother as we go toward Mother's Day. Not one of you. Not one of you can ever have a love toward someone else identical to that strange connection you have to a mother. That's why I've read on Mother's Day for many years that statement, God will forgive much to the person who never knew his mother. And any mother listening to me knows love can, you don't love the second child less or more than the first one. It has that mystical, paradoxical, continuum quality that you love each of them. But the love that a mother has for a child is not to be duplicated in any other expression of love. You could dwell on that aspect of God an hour a day as you sit down in the chapel here. Never exhaust its full meaning to you. People listen to other networks. When they hear them quoting me, you ought to just turn them off. Unless they give me credit, you know they're dishonest. And when you hear them quoting me and they don't give credit, you ought to turn them off, because why listen to that secondhand stuff when you can listen to the source? You'd be better off. You'd be better off to get a tape and put it in your audio machine. I mean, if you're sailing through some shoals in a dangerous river or rapid, you better go with the pilot that can take you all the way than some amateur just learning. I mean, I have preachers all the time put a rule down. If you're not a king's house, you can't buy my tapes. If you're not a supporter, you can't buy my tapes. Now we have some of the cleverest preachers. They want to get the tapes galore, so they don't have to do any homework, and they don't want to give credit. I'd be glad to tell the preacher if they'd give some credit. But I'm not going to support a thief. And a preacher that needs me to do his research is not worthy to preach if he doesn't do what Galatians 6 says. If you've been taught in the Word, then share materially with the one that taught you. When they start tithing, I may give them some tapes. I'm tired of it. Now get on the phone and let me know you appreciate this 24-hour network. You're actually doing pretty good still, but that doesn't mean that you stop with one call. I want a lot of calls. I am concerned about the lack of concern of some for reaching the goal of Secret 16. Many years ago at Hope Street, I saw people respond when they had stone and steel in view. I've always been on a crusade to get people to give for right reasons. And I said, as long as I was pastor here every year, I would come back and see if I could get people to give for no other reason than their love of God, worshipfully sacrificing, hit somewhere sometime with the sacrifice of God and His Son, and giving above their tithe, that we would match what happened at Hope Street. Now, the total would not reach that with what I've asked today or this year. All you have to do is look around. The results of Secret 16 are everywhere. Those who participated have got a part in every part of this ministry now. And you've only seen a part of it as you walk through the entrance of this studio and through the doors and down the hall and in this studio. As we've upgraded the cameras and every dimension of this ministry, the sound, the baptistry's been restored. We're about to activate a new baptism marathon. All parts of this ministry have been restored. We're in process of being restored. You haven't been allowed in the tower yet. You don't even know what's going on there. You shouldn't. It's a secret. You're acting in faith and trust and saying, over and above my tithe, I want to join with whatever the pastor does with this testimony of extra worth that this ministry means to me. 300 people giving 10,000 by Christmas. 700 people giving 3,000 above your tithe. Now you need to start early in the year. There are traditional things that we do here. July is double portion month. That double portion counts toward the secret. It's above your tithe. Come the fall, tabernacle time. That's offering above your tithe. Anything that you do above your tithe is part of the commitment that you make to Secret 16. Not your tithe. Tithe don't belong to you. Tithe's the Lord. First fruits, that's the Lord's. Your giving begins with offerings. And I use the secret as a focus of your giving, a set amount, that in faith you join with God and say, I'm going to get it done. There are people working a double job to pay their Secret 16 commitment. And I've seen it come to a screeching halt at about 100 of the 300 and about 100 of the 700. Now get on board. We've restored again the flag on the map where everybody should make it their goal at least 1 month out of the year. You're going to give $1,000, including your tithe. We need 300 of those every month. I don't want any giving except from people I've taught. But I want the people that I've taught to grow in faith in your giving. Now wake up to what's going on around here. 300 volunteers. Some of you are reneging on your commitments already. How many of you remember a few weeks ago, I was a little disturbed and said, I have to make a compromise. We found a man that can be the full-time man, taking charge of the maintenance and taking care of that and supervising that giant complex, the cathedral. But it ain't worth anything when it comes to enforcing my rules. He'll get the job done. But he's just a big sissy when it comes to dealing with you people. I said, I need some mean-eyed bitch that when you call and say, well, I can't keep my commitment this week, they'll just tear your ass out. You made a commitment to God. I mean, somebody I found out today, he's whining because there's some holes. Well, when he first saw the hole, why didn't he get his hand up? I took him out of the loop. I didn't make him responsible for finding the people. And I hope he's listening. He's just a big baby.
Yes, sir.
Just a big baby. That's all he is. I hope my wife has learned how to cuss as well as I can cuss because he really needs to get it.
Yes, sir.
Whining that, well, he's got some holes. And then when he gets his head knocked a little bit because he waits until the hole's there. He'd be clawing, trying to get out of a black hole instead of telling us when he got on the fringe of it. But I already decided, you're going to lose him if you ask him to do that kind of stuff. Just keep your nose down, do your work, tell the people what to do. We'll find the volunteers, but in God's name, hold up your hand a little sooner. I'm easy. And would you rather have somebody grin at you and say, you're really a stupid little son of a buck, but I love you, yada, 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 yada. I love you, but you're going to know where you stand. You're breaking agreement with me. That's wrong. Stop this one-sided love affair. Can't even talk to you without you coming in with some whiny problem that you didn't handle properly. What did you go to bed for the first night when you found it out? Instead of taking your lazy long legs home, sticking them in bed and hugging your wife, while you get your ass to somewhere you can hold your hand up. You don't go home with a problem like that. Is that clear enough?
Yes,
hope he's listening, but I don't know if he'll do any good, never has. I love the guy, but you can't get him to do anything. We just stand around and whine. And there's nothing I hate worse than an overgrown man that whines. I want women to be women, men to be men. So I've told my wife to change the phone number at the cathedral. You are not going to call that softy down there and say, I can't keep my commitment. This is the one I got from him today. I can't keep my commitment because it interferes with my work. And I'm going to have to change the time and only give 6 hours instead of 12. Go find another church. Or you tell your pastor on this number and give me a phone where I can call you why you're not going to keep a commitment you made to me. Don't go to one of these soft touches down there. Get that phone number changed at the cathedral and I'll cut that long-legged whatever his self is, I'll cut it out. If he lets you call him and break your commitment. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I took out of his hands the responsibility of here's a bunch of volunteers and you make them perform. You don't have to do that. He takes what he's got, but he reports when they don't show. And don't you try calling down there to say, I can't make it, I can't keep my commitment, my head gasket blew. Well, get a taxi. What are you looking at me like that for? Isn't that the way you have to perform on your job?
Yes, sir.
You don't call a janitor and say, tell the boss I can't show up today. I spent too much time playing with my wife last night and I'm sleepy. No woman worth her salt would play with a man like that. You'd be surprised how much better your husband would be if he'd get along with his pastor. Because he's probably been conning you, but he can't con me. You've been reneging on your commitments. You ain't gonna be part of the 300 and play that kind of game with me. This is an honor guard. This is a special band within the church that after 29 years, I got a lot of years left, but 29 years ought to earn me what David had. He wanted to go out and lead the battle and they said, no, you stay here. 10,000 of us can fall in the battle and we'll still survive. You go down, it's over. God was kind enough to let us be needed when he didn't need us. You got a chance to be needed. We got a great work to do, as Nehemiah said. You got a chance to help me do it. But don't give me half-ass commitments and half-ass excuses. You make a commitment, interferes your work, change your job. Or you explain to your pastor. Don't pull the coward duck-out method of calling somebody without the guts to challenge your sorry ass excuse. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
There's 800 numbers for you to call. Tell pastor I can't keep my commitment, and here are the reasons. I contacted gonorrhea, being in the wrong place, and I got to go to the hospital. And ask pastor to pray for me and cast the devil out of me and control my nature and anymore. Now, if you got a worse excuse than that, try that on me. Call this number and say, I bit off more than I can chew. Here are the reasons I can't keep my commitment. please help me find an adjustment that'll work. You serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
Get on the phone. Renew your commitment. You ought to do it every day until we get to you and assign you properly. And quit making excuses. And that long-legged sorry excuse for a man down there at the cathedral better quit being the sorry-ass excuse-making piece of whatever it is I'd like to say that he is. Keep his shoulder to the wheel. Report when he's got a problem and he knows how to do it. Let me stop paying him for 2 weeks. See how quickly he finds me. I'm not going through another 29 years after what we've gone through to shake the old guard out and shake up the ones that remain to start over with another bunch that don't mean business. And don't, when you transcribe this, write, "do not mean business." Transcribe it the way I say it. Now get on the telephone. You know, I wish I had the address of the cable company so I could have my people write them and express appreciation. So you in Kingsland, Georgia, tell us the address of the cable company so our people can write them and say thank you. This is what we confront, folks. Calling to say we are watching you and you are a blessing to this community in Kingsland, Georgia. We will be trying our best to keep you on our cable, because when the churches find out you're on, they will try their best to get you off the cable. You've been on the cable for about a week now, and we watch you all the time. Another caller saying, tell Dr. Scott that Kingsland, Georgia needs him. He has only been on the channel here for a week. We didn't have a church to go to because we were treated like second-class Christians because we were divorced. Well, I'm divorced. When the church called me, they had it in their constitution. Nobody could be in any position of leadership that had been divorced. Now, I have never been kicked out of any denomination. I kicked them away from me. I was the research director to reorganize the Assemblies of God. Preached at the Council on Evangelism that launched their growth program, 11,000 preachers. Chair, floor manager, as we implemented at their general council. Tom Zimmerman was like a father to me. He had plans for me. But there were certain things I saw that I could no longer live with. Still, you can't be a minister in that denomination. Can't be a minister. You've been divorced. They finally decided if you were divorced before you were saved, maybe that was okay. Ah, my Lord, Jesus didn't have any trouble with the Samaritan woman when he converted her. She had five husbands. It's this kind of legalistic stuff. I don't think you even understand the verses that I'm on in Romans right now that have divided the church for centuries. The next verse, when I get to a 28, is the rock foundation of the Reformation. I've been at war against these hypocritical, legalistic, self-righteous, judgmental, go-to-hell people. And I want to find people that understand that faith and faith alone gets you in. And before you were divorced, Christ died for that sin. You live your conscience and preach Christ. I'm not your judge and you're not mine. We need the address of this cable company so we can call them and tell them how smart they are for carrying us. Here's another one for all you folks in the Los Angeles area. Cal Brack's been trying to get us to do it. Your response. We pay over $8,000 a day for Channel 56 for the time we have on that channel for you folks here in Los Angeles. He wants us, I'm going to read this message, from Reseda. I just bought a new TV, and I bought a box to convert my TV to high definition, which is the way all stations are going to have to go. It's required, and they're on a timeline. And high definition enables them to, with a converter, you buy new TVs. Some of the old ones won't do it, but you buy any new TV. It's got to be set up to convert to high definition. I just bought a new TV and bought a box to convert my TV to high definition. I also hooked an antenna, and I've been getting Dr. Scott for hours now. There is a channel, 56.1, and Dr. Scott is on channel 56.2. It happens to be channel 31 and channel 32. Just thought I'd say that. In their technology, there's a channel 56.1, and I got a little remote on my TV. I can just hit any one of these stations, 2, 4, 6, I mean 7, 9, 56, and you can convert to high definition. But you have to have an attachment to your TV. I think it runs around $200, $250. You didn't tell me what it cost. And then you can pick up all the high definition channels that are on the one station. Cal has put us on 56.2. We're there 24 hours a day. Now, he's just doing it now, and if he finds someone else who'll buy that programming, we're off. He wants us to do it, because he wants us to have that 24-hour coverage in Los Angeles again on an ordinary TV. Every one of you in Los Angeles, every one of you that have listened, that have longed for Channel 30, everywhere that 56 goes off Mount Wilson, much further than Channel 30 ever went, you get the high-definition converter with the new TVs, punch it in, go to 56.2, there I am 24 hours a day. If there's enough response in the Los Angeles area, I'll go with Cal, add the time on Saturday night on the regular time so that we're on every night at 10 o'clock. And we'll be back on high definition on every new television in this city. And there are thousands upon thousands of people that are getting the converter because they want to get the extra channels on 2 and on 4 and on 5 and on 7 and on 9 and on 11 and on 13. But if they've got it, they'll get the extra channels on 56. 24 hours a day, high definition TV right there. It's up to you folks. You don't even have to do anything but just get the converter. You need it anyway for your TV. Then try and see if we're there on 56.2 and get on the phone. Yell hooray. If there's enough of you, I'll do what I always do. I'll expand another coverage like we did when they thought they were silencing us in May almost two decades ago. And we just went every direction. So Johnny Carson on his show one night said, I got up this morning and turned on my mixer, whatever you call that thing, a mixer for my orange juice, and Scott started talking out of it. Get on the phone and talk to me. I like messages like that. Now, some of you that heard me earlier might say, you mean if I make my commitment as one of 300 and can't keep the commitment, can't come to church anymore? I didn't say that. I said, if you don't feel it your duty to explain to your pastor, and you haven't got the character to be a part of this church. Well, you insist in every sinner in town? Yeah. Well, I'm like God, those that sin willfully, having tasted and then just go your way, goodbye. Someone has said, color you gone. I'm in the business of building character. I'm not some politician. I'm given by God a responsibility to perfect the saints, Anybody can make a commitment and circumstances change. But you're going to show the honor and decency of explaining to the pastor whom you made the commitment to, humbly, "Pastor, give me another chance. I have this problem." You're not going to cavalierly wave me off. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't know when I came here it was going to be that tough. It wasn't that tough when you came here. You didn't know as much as you know now. If God had graced me to be a parent, I wouldn't be killing a one-year-old because he fills his pants. But by the time he's 10 years old, he's going to eat it. Let's have some mutual respect. That's all I'm asking. You made a commitment. Keep your commitment or explain why you can't. And don't try to explain to somebody that hasn't got the guts to tell you whether or not you're just doing like that guy did, making an excuse about his head gasket. But are we understanding each other?
Yes, sir.
I expect many of these people have made commitments, and the minute you make the commitment, the devil's going to attack. And there'll be all kinds of excuses. My wife's in the hospital. My head gasket blew on my car. My work interferes. This is not a casual, well, like a tip I throw down to God. If I can, I will. No, you've made a commitment. I expect you to keep it or explain why you can't. Just like the job you go to. So the issue is not that you can't keep the commitment. It's that you're not man or woman enough to explain to the person you made the commitment to. This phone number here is the one you call if you can't keep your commitment, and you explain why, you give me a phone number where we can reach you. Now let's get on with the pleasant things of tonight. I want you to call and tell me you appreciate the 24-hour programming. We're live. I want that song again, "No Vacation from the Blues." Maybe I'll get them so blue they'll want to call here and cheer, get cheered up. Get on the phone. Come on. Sunday's Mother's Day. Be at the cathedral. Get your mother to come with you. If you don't have one, get another person's mother. Bring a mother with you. Kingsland, Georgia. Write this down, Voices of Faith. The cable company is Kings Bay, two words, Kings Bay Communication, Inc. Kings Bay Communication, Inc. P.O. Box 1356. P.O. Box 1356. Kingsland, Georgia. Zip 31548-1356. Same as the P.O. box. 31548-1356. Write them and tell them how much you appreciate them carrying your pastor in the university cathedral on their cable company. And keep that handy if people call to get the address. Here's another flag on the map for this month from Fairfield, California. And a new $10,000 pledge before Christmas. One of the 300. And Greenwood, Indiana, Capstone Books is going to be carrying the book, "Where is Boasting?" It's pretty heavy stuff, but it will let you know how critical this area on boasting is and how many scholars, academics, and expositors have checked in on the fight of what it means. Go ahead and lose yourself in the book and then listen to me and I'll tell you what it means. Obviously, Paul did not condemn all boasting. It just depends whether it's good calca or bad calca. That was Sunday's message. I'll be continuing Sunday, even on Mother's Day. You got to figure out how I'm going to link that to Mother's Day. Proctorville, Ohio. I cannot see how anyone would watch or listen to another pastor. I don't. I've been watching you for 20 years now. Let's go for another 20. Yes. Dallas, Texas. I'm the one voice in Dallas that appreciates Dr. Scott, and I'm ashamed of the plagiarizers around me. They don't want you to be set free. And most of these people have just swallowed the bill of goods that's handed down to them. The same bill of goods that got James added to the canonization of Scripture in the 4th and 5th century. They didn't know what to do with Paul. The church world didn't know what to do with Paul. Marcion produced the first canon. Up until Marcion, letters circulated among the churches, but there was no canon. The bishops and those that could trace their appointment to apostles, they made the decisions. There was no independent canonization of Scripture. There were gospels circulating, one or more, letters circulating. Marcion decided there was so much stuff running around, the only one that was worth listening to was Paul. Now, he went too far. He even ruled out the Old Testament. But about 80% of the Christian world in the middle of the 2nd century had gone with the Marcionites. And the church bishops had to come back with a canonization to counteract. And they came up with the criteria. If the person was an apostle, and he wrote it, it was inspired, and thus canonized. And then they added certain ones like Mark and Luke that were close to apostles, that had as their source an apostle. It took until the 5th century before the decree came down, these are the books that are accepted as canonized, which included, by the way, the Apocrypha, which stayed in the canonized books until the mid-1800s when both the British and American Bible Society kicked it out. It was in Luther's Bible, was in the King James, was in every Bible up until the mid-1800s. James, people didn't have to deal with it. Luther didn't even believe James wrote it. Says it's the right strawy little gospel, not right strawy little epistle, not one word of gospel in it. And people have been trying to reconcile James and Paul ever since. You can't reconcile them. James was wrong. And I've got a message on the list of tapes, James the Jerk. He not only was wrong, self-righteous, Judaizer, who wanted to accept Christ as the Messiah, but you still were made righteous by keeping the law, you can't reconcile that with Paul. Now you're listening to me and not calling. I'll get back to this subject. Get on the telephone. Before we went through the station break time, I was talking about James. He wasn't canonized. They didn't put in the Bible until 4th and 5th century. You can't reconcile James with Paul. James was wrong. It says in the 2nd chapter, even so faith, 17th verse, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone by itself. Well, that's the whole message of Reformation. Sola fide, faith alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, James Dawkin, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Sounds like boasting to me in works. Isn't that what Paul prohibited?
Yes, sir.
See, Paul dominated through the Marcionites, and to counteract, they had to spread it around, like some of the television networks. Can't let one voice, even though it's the chosen voice, be heard. We got to throw a bunch of contradictions out there and confuse the saints. Expect the Holy Spirit to sort it out. Paul said, if they come preaching, even an angel, if an angel come preaching anything other than what I tell you, let him be accursed. Well, he's in the Bible, isn't he? Well, he's put there by a bunch of Catholic bishops in the north of Africa, the 4th and 5th century. Church of Rome didn't have to read James. They never even had the book. Galatia had to put up with James. Peter was up there worshiping with the saints at Galatia. Here comes somebody from James out of Jerusalem. He withdraws and doesn't let them see him participating with the Gentiles. Paul was stood into his face. You hypocrite. Paul went down to Galatia after 15 years of preaching from his calling because he wanted to see if he was preaching the right gospel, and he got into this nest of vipers who sent people to spy on him in the John to see if the ones that were with him as Christians were circumcised. Christian fruit inspectors. Paul says they contributed nothing to me. This was an attempt to try to balance the message. Paul still won out 2/3 of the New Testament. God made sure his was the mighty voice. Well, then, James is the... Okay, James was in charge of the first church council. Read about it in Acts. And James decreed, Paul, you and Barnabas go to the Gentiles. Now, I'm a Gentile and you're a Gentile, most of you. And Peter and James would minister to the Jews. So, okay, you can keep James in the Bible. It doesn't bother me because he tells me right at the open who he's talking to. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's who he's writing to. And he told me at the church council, a Gentile, that Paul was sent to me. So I can live with James. He's a jerk. But if I'm going to choose who I'm going to listen to, Paul or James, by James' own word. Paul's the minister of the Gentiles. Helps read the whole Bible, you know. You know, James said some good things. He said some good things. But he never even followed Jesus until after the resurrection. And the people in Jerusalem didn't know that he would, the Pharisees thought he would deny that Jesus was the Messiah 19 years after he'd been pastoring in the city. All he'd produced was a bunch of poor. He took pride in it. Their name was Ebionites. Translated in the King James, the poor, the word's Ebionites. They're still in the Middle East. Who boast of their poverty. You don't try to stuff James down my throat and don't try to reconcile him. Proves what a poor scholar you are when you try to reconcile him. And that's why these preachers that have staked their whole life on preaching, you got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that, they don't want me to set you free because it wipes out 20 years of their preaching. They don't want you to find out. They don't want, James didn't want Paul preaching in Jerusalem. And don't bother spying on me. I'm circumcised. Get on the telephone. Now, let me talk to voices of faith, those that are listening out there that will be voice of faith some other time, and you that are here. You're not to answer questions. You're not to answer questions about me. You're not to get in discussions or debates. But, you know, this is like the usher that wouldn't let him in Sunday because I didn't know my head. Use some common sense. Somebody calls and says, how can I participate in this ministry? And you don't tell them they can be a king's house and what a king's house is. A king's house is someone that recognizing my house is the Lord's and they want to be a part of this ministry in some way. And a king's house makes a commitment to watch at least or listen at least once a week and support in some way. You're not prohibited from saying that when somebody says, how can I participate? King's tithers, if you want to tithe to this ministry, we have King's tither numbers. You know, let me read the message and I think you'll see what I'm saying. This is from Kingsland, Georgia. I want to thank him and let him know that I've learned more in the last week and a half since I heard your program than in the last 4 years since I've been saved. We've become a king's house and a king's tither in a short time we've been listening. Turns out he didn't have a king's tither number, but he does now. He said when he called several times the first week, he tuned in and asked how he could contribute and become a part of this ministry. He said no one would answer his questions. Well, no other questions, yes, but that one, common sense should say, I can't answer questions. Can I have the address to send $5 million? Well, I'm sorry, I can't answer questions. Or I want to send my widow's mite, and can I have the address? He said no one would answer his question. Finally, someone told him about king's houses and gave him the P.O. box number, but no one offered him the king's tither number, although he said he wanted to send you his tithes. He said he and his wife combine their tithes and only send one check. Well, that's fine. You're both king's tithers if you're tithing. That's two king's tithers in one house. There's no problem with that. You combine your tithe, who cares? I'm quite sure there are lots of homes that one man works and one woman works. But come on, voice of faith, use some common sense, but then don't become a garrulous, give them a life story of your pastor. They want to know about me, listen, it's what you see is what you get. But when somebody asks a specific question like, what's the address, or how can I participate, that's what king's houses and king's tither numbers are for, and king's dish numbers, and the shortwave band numbers, all of those participatory identities. Use some common sense, voices of faith. Come on. Get on the phone. All right, now you've slacked off. The calls are not coming in. I'd like to go to the table of the Lord in the next half hour, but I want your calls. I've got about another 100 to reach our quota for reservation Sunday, so get on the telephone. You know, it really bugs me. By the way, the person who made that mistake with the music, there's hopes for anybody that when in a pinch gets Elvis. I mean, when you're in a pinch, throw Elvis up. You can't lose with Elvis. But a death march. You know, I have trouble with people that or tell the people not to listen to me because I smoke a cigar. They can't find a verse of scripture anywhere that's against it. Just one of their traditions that makes void the word of God. And yet they won't protest somebody being on their network like Pat Robinson that teaches you're going to go through the tribulation. Which means the body of Christ has to suffer twice. And he only died once. The body of Christ will be caught up before the tribulation, the great tribulation. In this world we have tribulation, but the book of Revelation is very clear. That's the tribulation, the great tribulation. And they'll leave the hour of power on. I don't want to trouble the hour of power, don't bother me. But it's a matter of record that Shuler went through the Bible to take out any references to sin. Now, I can't think of greater boasting than your possibilities. You don't have any possibilities. If you understand the scripture, you're dead in Christ. You better be crucified with him. The only possibility and the only thing you can boast in is the Lord who's made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. I mean, there's more false doctrine being peddled with a smile. I wish they'd put some smoke screen in front of them. And anybody who preaches righteousness by works is a heretic. Anybody who preaches righteousness by your works and works of the law is a heretic. And you have treated the blood of Christ with despite. And nullify the gospel. And you're not even an angel preaching another doctrine. And you say, I'm unkind, sin, heretic. Well, let me use what Paul said about you. You're accursed. Let you be accursed. Preaching a different doctrine. I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right when I unfold what Paul said, because there ain't nothing around I haven't read, researched, and uncovered. That's why I need your help as volunteers, so I can keep doing it. You need this beacon light to keep you from being led astray by all these hirelings and false prophets in the world today. Will worshippers do this and don't do that. Judgers. Self-righteous Pharisees. All of Christ. Am I an antinomian against law? Absolutely not. Faith fulfills the law in its purposes. You'll see that as we go on. But it's God in us doing it, not us doing it. One of the greatest heresies ever written is that extra popular book. It's reprinted about every generation. I sure hope Capstone Books doesn't have it in this list. James Sheldon, In His Steps. That's one of the most heretical books ever written. Imitate Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, he'd do something different than you're doing. And he'd do something different than what he wants you to do. Only Jesus could go to Calvary. The question is not what would Jesus do, it's what would Jesus have me do? You know, God isn't interested in imitation. Imitation of Christ will make you fall for the same wayside the Judaizers of Paul's day fell. You can't do it, imitating Christ. You trust Christ. You have the faith of Jesus. Why I'm hard on these people to make commitments. You're not listening to anything I say. If you don't understand, when you make a commitment, you keep it to your own hurt. That's what Jesus did. That's what God did. And we very carefully have shown that it's the faith of Jesus that starts it. And when you end that long sentence of Paul, if you were listening to me, you're made part of the faith of Jesus. We can't do it. We can trust. We can hang our body on God's commitments, His promises. And you can no more produce the fruit of the seed of the Word than the ground produces the corn without the seed. The seed comes in, the life produces itself. If there's good soil is trusting soil, period. I've been setting you free for 29 years. I've just begun as I move into these passages in the book of Romans. Wait till we get to the fourth chapter. The father of faith, Abraham. If he's righteous because of his works, he has whereof to boast. Paul's going to stick to this boasting business till we get to the fifth chapter and teaches us what we're supposed to boast about. When have you last boasted of your tribulations? And you're supposed to not boast to others, but boast to God about it. Every time you say hallelujah, you're boasting. But you're boasting of God. Hallelujah. It's the end of my message Sunday, not hallelujah, Gene. Not hallelujah, Baptist. Not hallelujah, Assembly of God. Not hallelujah, Catholic. Hallelujah. Works won't cut it. But when you're led by a pastor that has convinced you his works are getting it done, he don't want you listening to me. I welcome pastors that call and give me their name, support this ministry with a part of their tithe because they're being taught, and say, I gladly proclaim that you've been a source of some of the things that I'm teaching, and I'll take the message like a chain reaction and do it over and over again. But when somebody steals the message and puts me down and will not honestly tell the source, they're liars and they're crooks and they're thieves and they're plagiarizers, and that's a criminal act. And I'm not going to participate with you in it. So if you want to get my tapes as a pastor, you better identify and say, I appreciate what you're doing, and I tell my people to listen to you, and I use your research to help me get in my busy schedule my messages. I used to go to Melody Land once a week every year. Ralph Wilkerson says, when you leave at the end of the week, Gene, I got preaching for the next 12 months. Just taking a part of the message and developing it. I've been a preacher's preacher all my life. They don't have the tools, some of them, and don't do the research, the rest of them. And most of the research is done in dead seminaries where people have the academic and spend all their time showing off that they know every single different explanation of this verse and don't have the guts to take a position themselves. My business is to declare what Paul said. And he didn't write confusingly. He's been made confusing by confused people. So I want all of you that are listening to know, I've been kicked out of anything. I kicked these jerks out. I'm a free man. I was begged when I came here by Tom Zimmerman to bring Faith Center back into the Assemblies of God. I was the executive for 17 years in the denomination we belonged to. I'm not some heretic. I'm not some person that's been kicked out of various denominations. I'm just like Paul. They contributed nothing, and I'm going free. I just want you to know what Paul said. Without fear or favor, I don't have to somehow compromise it with the Presbytery Board of Ignoramuses down in New Orleans. Now, get on the telephone. You know, you that have been set free, just like Paul said to the Romans, you've got a response duty. Some of you listening to me remember when you finally breathed the free air of the Spirit and realized you were serving other Christians and bowing to their judgment and seeking to please men. And the truth that I teach has set you free to where, like Paul, you say, henceforth, let no man trouble me. I'm the slave of the Lord. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And if I yet please men, I wouldn't be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were set free to have a life with a family that you could raise, and you and God work it out with His Word instead of some deacon board judging you, who are anything but a group of servants, which is what the word deacon means. Well, you ought to God and to those that haven't been set free to put your hand to the plow and get in here and be part of this volunteer band. If you can't give the 12 hours, at least you ought to be giving something. This is not new, to build a band within a band. I built the Philippian band within the King's House band. We had the Company of the Committed many years ago. You need to step out from just treading water and make a deeper commitment. Now, there's one more song for you to make your calls, and then we're going to the table of the Lord. But I appreciate the way you have called since 7 o'clock. Do it again. But some of you still need to make your reservations and make commitments of the various challenges that are in front of you. Come on, get on the phone. Mohopoc, New York. Which Sunday in August is going to be your birthday Sunday, sir? I'd like to make plans to come out to the cathedral for birthday Sunday. Everybody should make a pilgrimage to cathedral. At least once in your Christian experience, and preferably once a year. Why go out on vacation anywhere else? Come out here and work. The birthday is August 14th. That's a Saturday, I'm told. That means August 15th will be the birthday weekend. Okay? Now you know. And then there's a second birthday, the weekend of October the 5th, which will be my fourth birthday of my new life birthday. I don't have two birthdays. I was told I'd be dead in a year from prostate cancer if I didn't have surgery or radiation. I had neither. And this October, my new life of God's healing. That Sunday, I'll be 4 years old. Means I'm younger than my wife. Get that straight. Younger than most of you. And if I'm that wise at four, think what I'll be when I'm 24. Now we're going to go to the table of the Lord. Get your elements ready. This is a personal trek to the table tonight. A week ago Sunday, we had Shalom service on Sunday morning. I got sick Sunday night after festival. Last Sunday night, we had communion here on festival. And though I preached not feeling 100% on Sunday morning and festival Sunday night, had a relapse and got sick again Sunday night. I said, boy, this May, God is really letting the devil attack me at the heart of my faith. So I'm doing what I tell you to do. I said to my wife today, I'm going to the festival and have communion again tonight. And if the devil's going to make me sick every time I take communion, I'm going to start doing it 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 50 times a day. God's word's still true. And who he amens, the hearing of us. Tonight I want to go to Matthew 8. For those that don't think healing is in the atonement. 8th chapter of Matthew. I've been here many times with you, but in this context, a little different. When he, that is Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. I got a few things I've been saying to the Lord recently. I don't approach him in saying, if thou wilt, because he's already clearly said what he wilt. But he responded to this guy who said, if. But that's not the point I'm going to make. I will, be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, is that physical sickness? Huh? Last time I checked, it was. Fifth verse, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, the centurion only had to tell him. The servant didn't even say anything. I mean, you know, like Moses, I'm sort of talking to God about his fairness principle. He doesn't have to be fair, but I want him to know that I know. I'm coming to him saying, you already said you will. And it isn't somebody else telling you I'm sick, I'm telling you. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Is palsy sickness? Physical sickness? Last time I checked, it was. The centurion said, you don't even have to go home where my servant is. I'm a man in authority. I say to my servants, go, and they go, and come, they come. You just speak the word, my servant will be healed. You don't even have to bother to go where he's at. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Jesus said, go thy way, as thou hast, and it's a derivative of pistuo, as thou hast faith, it's translated believe, as thou hast faith, so be it done unto thee, and his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now, that's physical sickness, isn't it? And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, that's fever accompanies sickness, physical, doesn't it? And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I guess she got them cooked and served them, did all kinds of things. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took, lambano is the Greek word, bent down, and picked up. Himself took limbano, our infirmities, asthenia, sickness physical, and bear our sicknesses. Phantozo, physical sicknesses. Both words, different word for physical sicknesses. That it might be fulfilled what Isaiah said, himself took the bono, bent down, picked him up. He's quoting the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, where there are two Hebrew words, nasa to pick up and sabal to carry away. Our infirmities and our sicknesses, Greek words with no question. Hebrew likewise, holy, sickness, macabre, pain. This settles it. He's quoting the atonement passage. He didn't just pick up our sins and be abused and die for our iniquities. He bent down, picked up, and carried away sicknesses. And lest somebody wants to just spiritualize those words, though they're very clear in the Greek, what I read before makes it clear. Leper, palsy, sick, fever, physical sickness is included in the atonement. If I die taking this of a physical sickness, I'm going to wake up on the other side, have a long, troublesome discussion, probably create a scene at the gate. I don't know anything to do but what I've told you to do. Hang your body on God's Word. If you can't sit up, or if you can't stand up, sit up in faith. If you can't sit up, nod your head. If you can't nod your head, blink your eyes. Don't stop saving. Some are healed as they go. Some are healed instantly. In this case, they're all healed instantly. I don't think I'm right. I went at this when I had the cancer. Same way I'm going tonight. I've said to you over and over, it's harder to keep a healing than it is to get one. You drop your guard when the pressure's not on. But let my experience and every man be a liar. God's Word says, when he went to Calvary, that atonement passage, Isaiah 53, picked up and applied here by Matthew, he hadn't died yet. Jesus didn't have a right to even forgive sin without drawing chits down on what he was going to pay for later. That's what the passage we taught in Romans is about. He appears unrighteous because he took people in because of their faith. Every time God forgave, every time Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven, every time he healed somebody, he's paying with chits on a credit to be paid at Calvary. And if he hadn't paid it at Calvary, he'd be unrighteous and capricious. He paid it at Calvary. And he went around healing because he knew as he took those sicknesses away from them, they'd be laid on him in the days that followed as he would pay the price, mussar, requitement, for our well-being. And with his stripes, we were healed. Whatever your sickness tonight, today, whenever you hear this, he took it. And in faith, you remember. That's why there's two elements at this table. If sin's the only issue, all you need is the cup. The broken bread is there because with his stripes, with his bruises, we were healed. I claim that promise for me tonight as I look through this bread to his broken body. You do the same and say it with me. With his stripes, I was healed. Well, I'm not worthy, you might say. Neither am I. Neither's your pastor, whomever he may be. Neither are you. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb.